Regularly scheduled programming will not be seen at this time, so that we may bring you the
Open Mic
After School Special.
Welcome back, everyone, to not another episode. I'm going to say this is a special episode of Open Mic with the MVP Marco. I am, of course, your host, the MVP Marco. Obviously, before I start the show, I always, you know, give a shout out to the Pod Foundation. If you don't know them by now, I don't know what you're doing. But I'll reiterate. I'll let you know who they are. It's the Turnbuckle Tavern. If you don't know them, I mean, they're the war curses of the Pod Foundation. They have a million shows out. I'm on one of them. It's called The Rawdown. Every Tuesday, 9 o'clock p.m. EST on patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tavern. It's on Wednesdays. The audio drops that day. So if you don't see the live show, listen to me in audio form. But I have a co-host. It's not just me. And that's J-Bone, who's also a part of the Pod Foundation. He has a show called Coming Down the Aisle. Definitely check that out. We also have the Extra Cooler Show with Nick. Obviously, he's Extra Cooler. I mean, if you don't know who he is, you're not a wrestling fan, I would say. But other than that, we also have, you know, last but not least, the anchor. The reason why I'm here and actually doing this show is a Chick Foley show. That's myself, Sheena Phelps, Seth Phelps, and our good friend, Jordan Wells, the Fid God, as we call him. But, you know, let's get right to it. I mean, like I said, this is a special episode. This person's back again for a second time, but this is a special time because I believe the last time we spoke, he did bring up some things where, you know, he was working on some things, really couldn't say what they were, kind of keeping them shrouded in secrecy. I'm assuming this was one of them that I'm about to present to you right now. It's a book he actually worked on. It's his book. He authored it. It's the Complete Guide to Jack's Classic Superstars by Kyle Peterson. It is pretty much a Bible for any figure collector out there, and you should definitely have it in your possession if you don't have it now. Let me bring him on so we can talk more about it. Kyle Peterson, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I feel great being on a very special episode. I feel like I'm on an 80s sitcom here. It's going to get serious in this discussion here, but yeah, I'm definitely doing very well. Thank you for having good. Me.
You know, I might have to find the special episode intro music from the 80s before I actually do this. That's actually, thank you for bringing that up. I have to make the show a little bit different from the other open mic shows. So that's,
well, there you go.
Thank you for that inspiration there. Now you're going to hear a little different jingle at the beginning before, before the show starts. But I did allude to the fact that, you know, the last time you were on here, you did speak of a bunch of things, not a lot of things. Some things were in secrecy. I'm assuming this was one of them. Was this book one of the things you cannot speak about right now?
That was one thing I was in the midst of working on. Yes, there was a couple of things, and there's still a few things. I'm always playing a game of chess. I try to kind of work ahead. Like, there's stuff that's going on now, and then there's stuff I'm working on for hopefully early 2025, things like that. Yeah. So.
Awesome. That's awesome. I kind of spoke to you a little bit before this. You said you had a lot of interviews about this book. So I'm assuming you're very excited to talk about it right now.
Yeah,
as well.
I love hearing my own voice. Let me tell you, I do four videos a day on the YouTube. I obviously love to hear my own voice.
And I've seen that earlier. You just like drop after drop after drop. And just before this, I did see that you dropped a video about the book, like the actual, like, you know, meat and potatoes, as they say, or going into the weeds a little bit. And maybe we can try to do a little bit on this show anyway. But
yeah,
let's talk about it. The inception, like, where did you, obviously you're a figure collector, so that's where the idea came from. But like, where did this like conception come from, where you're just like, you know what, I'm going to make a over 600 page book of figures. And that's going to be the plan.
Yeah, I you know, I'm a lifelong Jazz Classic Superstars fan. From day one, I was collecting Jazz Classic Superstars. Mm. And, you know, that's one of the most common questions I have when they see my collection is like, how did you afford all this? Well, when you're buying them, when they come out, they were like $8.99, $9.99. It wasn't that big a deal. Exactly. They obviously have grown in value over the years. However, I'm such a big fan of it, and I have been doing on my YouTube channel a Tuesday Jazz Classic Superstars video. Every single Tuesday, it'll be 5 years worth of videos when things are all said and done. So it's kind of like the audio visual version of the book in some ways is what I do there. But going through all that, I was really enjoying the line. I said, man, I'd really like to have a loose set of these. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. That's my next collector's goal. I'm going to get a loose set to go with my Men on Card set. Well, we both know this, being figure collectors. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you a lot of money if you buy onesies, twosies, and pay $10 shipping for each one. I said, I got to find some huge lots. I got to find some of that stuff. Well, about 2 weeks into my search, all of a sudden, a guy in Chicago, about 5 hours from me, was selling pretty much a 99% complete collection. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is what I got to do right here. Because, like I said, there's, you know, 600, 700 figures in this line. There's a lot of figures. You add all that shipping cost, it becomes expensive. So I said, this would be the way to do it. So negotiated for about 2 weeks. Anyways, came to a deal, rented a van and drove to Chicago, picked them all up. I documented it on the channel maybe, gosh, a year and a half ago. I don't even know when that was. But that's what I did. So I basically, okay, now I have a loose and one. And basically my plan was to unbox all those on my channel. Hey, there's content. I get my stuff. Might as well get the most out of it. I can. I'll do videos on it. I'll have a loose collection. Well, at the beginning, after like the first week of doing the video, I was like, you know what? It'd be really cool if somebody did a book. And I was like, there's never been a book on this line. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody else that A, would ever want to attempt it out there. I mean, maybe there is, but B, somebody that had a loose set and a Men on Card set that can show pictures of the packaging front and back and all angles of the actual action figure. So I said, I think this is something I have to do. And, you know, snowballed from there, started working ahead and started getting after it. And voila, here we are. Now the book is officially released.
Yeah, man. That's, like I said, it's definitely like, if you're not, I was actually thinking to myself, like, if you're not a, like, if you're a figure collector, you definitely should have this in your collection of books. Obviously, there's been other books out there. There's the LJN book that came out, was a few years back. And there was two Hasbro books that came out. But this one right here is way more, not because you're on the show and not because I actually have them in my possession. I own those other books as well. This is probably the most comprehensive, like, book. For a line, essentially.
It really looks like a college textbook. When you look at this, it looks like a textbook from college. I mean, that's what it looks like. It is very thick. I mean, with that comes expense, and we could talk about it. I'm open to anything. The video I just posted you referred to, I mean, I'm telling how the sausage is made, how it's made, how much money I get per book. I mean, I'm up for all that stuff. So,
I mean, well, you don't have to give everything away because we definitely want everyone to go to your, you know, your YouTube channel to watch the video. But like, you know, How did you get let's jump to the, you know, the Godfather. Obviously we spoke about this the last time you're on the show. You know, you guys are kind of like, you know, good friends. How did you get him involved in the book? And did you ask him beforehand to do the foreword, or did you say, hey, I need you to do a foreword for something? Or did you say, hey, I'm doing a book about Jack's Classic Superstars, I need you to be involved? How did that
conversation start? So when I first started it, I knew to myself, I wanted to have Jeremy involved. And I never knew Jeremy, never talked to Jeremy, anything like that. But I know enough of Jeremy, following him since the Jack's Classic Superstars days up till now. I know he's passionate about this stuff. And I knew this would be something he would probably be interested in, or at worst think is, hey, it's really cool, go ahead. So I said, I wanted to have Jeremy involved some way. So I shot Jeremy a Twitter DM. Well, he doesn't follow me, and we know how that goes. Gets lost in the shuffle, never heard back. So, and then I sent him another one maybe a month later, never heard back. And I'm just like, you know, how do I get attention to this guy? And I said, I'll just wait a little while. I knew San Diego Comic-Con was coming up. I had started the process of the book. I pretty much laid out my outline and had put some notes together, but I hadn't got into the meat and potatoes, but I pretty much knew what I wanted to do. And I had a sample page done. Long story short, went to San Diego Comic-Con, knew he was going to be at the Jazzwares booth, and that's tracked him down at the Jazzwares booth. He was up in the crow's nest there, and I got his attention, got him to come down. And, you know, we had a half-hour conversation. San Diego Comic-Con is very busy for everybody, but we sat there for a half hour and talked. He gave me plenty of time. He was 100% on board. And somebody else had just recently talked to me, or talked to him about me. So he, like, knew when I came. He was like, wait a minute, this is really weird. Talking about passionate collectors and about the classic superstars line in all things. So it was kind of great segue into the discussion. And I told him what I wanted to do. I showed him the preview picture, and And he said, I'm on board. Whatever you need, whatever I can help you with, let me know. And I said, I'll circle back to you when I get a little closer to completed. I'd love it if you could write the foreword. I'd love it if we could do an interview for the book. And he said, no problem with both those things. Long story short, I got to work. I started hammering everything out. And about 7 months later, I said, okay, Jeremy, I'm hoping to have this wrapped up here in the next 2 months or so. Could we do this front, forward, and the interview? He said, all right. And we had, I think it was two Zoom calls. So we had two Zoom calls together working on things. He answered some questions that I had, some things that have never before been known about the line in here. And then he did the interview with me. And then he sent me some cool materials that are also in this book as well, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. How involved was he in the process of this? Because obviously he's the, you know, the creator. He's the guy behind it. And even in the forward, he says, you know, he had, you know, direct access to, you know, like Vince McMahon for this stuff. It's one of those things where, you know, like even nowadays with like, you know, Mattel, with the Mattel leads and stuff like that, when I'm looking through this book, there's so many figures that need to, that I hope will be made, that are in this line that are not in Mattel's line right now. It's pretty insane.
I always pick on Johnny Rods in there, because Johnny Rods is like, I mean, it's about a deepest deep cut ever. I don't think Mattel would even dive into that. So there is some super deep cut, and that was kind of the beauty of the line, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where like I'm not sure if, you know, this is true, but it seems like they're just like, you know, let's just create figures of everybody, just so like anyone that we have access to, anyone we can get a hold of, let's just make a figure and get it done. And like I said, definitely going through this book, you definitely get to see all that stuff. It's like I said, it's pretty remarkable the amount of, you know, even back then, like the amount of like detail that went into those figures and the thought.
And one of the wild things about this is it is actually the 20th anniversary of this line. So it's 20 years to right now when this line came out. Right. And, you know, you've heard it being a collector. A lot of people listening to this have heard it being collectors. Oh, that's so Jax. That's so Jax. That's always been kind of a joke out there. You know, and you can easily say that's so Mattel. And I do think 20 years from now, you'll hear people say that's so Mattel. I mean, it's just the thing. It's easy on this. People have a lot of revisionist history, but you go back 20 years to when this line came out, this was game changing. This was revolutionary stuff.
Yep.
And people look at a lot of things and a lot of older figures with 2024 eyes. You know, you give a kid an LJN, they're like, this is an action figure. Well, you grew up in the 80s, man, there wasn't anything cooler than an LJN. So it's all perspective on that. But that's one interesting thing. I can't believe it. It's 20 years since this line came out. So perfect time to celebrate it with this book here.
Yeah, the pretty cool thing about the like that line, when you actually go through like all the different like iterations of it, like you get all different aspects of a figure. Like you get kind of like a, I mean, nowadays you would call like a basic figure where, you know, it didn't have like the, you know, the torso articulation. But then later on, you get the deluxe, and now you're getting the torso articulation. You're also getting LJNs at some point within the line too, as well. So like you kind of like, When they say like, you know, we just, you know, they're like, we're just going to make figure, we're just going to, whoever we can get, we're just going to do it. Like literally just going through that book, through that history of Jax, you can definitely see like, they're just like, yo, let's just get it all done, because we don't know when it's going to end. So like, let's take advantage of it as much as we can, and just let's do it. So, is that something that you got from that as well, as like, you know, not the desperation, but the amount of like, hey, this is like you said, it's unprecedented when the line came out. This is, you know, groundbreaking. Like, we need to do something spectacular. Did you get that like feeling going through not only collecting, but doing this book as well?
Yeah, from the get-go. I mean, it was really revolutionary. You know, some people, like you said, they made LJN style classic superstars. And we do know the J in LJN was also the J in Jax. So it's a natural progression there. He came over to do this. So it was kind of a tribute to the past as well. Classic superstars, classic wrestlers. It makes a lot more sense when you think of it that way. I think the average Joe maybe doesn't think that way. But it is definitely an amazing collection. And one thing that's fun about this collection, where Mattels are really fun. I love Mattels as much as the next guy. I got every single Mattel Elite in my collection, and I love Mattels. And I think when dust settles, it'll probably be the greatest wrestling figure toy line of all time, just because how long it has went. But the classics, there's something special about a line that has a beginning and an end. There's just something special that everything is in this book. And it's a thick book, like we talked about. Yeah. I did think about making this into volumes, but it just felt not right to me. I think if you do a Mattel book, you got to have volumes. But there's something special about having the complete collection in a book. I don't know. But it is let me tell you, with that comes a big price point, as we do know.
Yes.
Just the way books are made.
Yeah. That was another thing. Like, I was going to ask you as far as, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, printing the book and doing it, like, how does that process look when you're, you know, like you said, there's costs involved with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this book is, I mean, it's, for me, like, this, it is, I don't think it's pricey at all. I think, like, for what it is, like you said, it's almost like a college textbook. So, like,
yeah,
if you think of a college textbook, it's about the same price as one of those books would be. So,
and yeah, those are even more expensive usually. And that's one of those things. I mean, even if it was $40, there'd be somebody out there saying, oh, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's like anything. You'd be a musician or an actor. I mean, you could always get schlogged off and said, you know, this isn't worth it. And that's just, you know, you vote with your wallet at the end of the day. But exactly. Making a book isn't an easy process. I mean, it's just a lot like movies and music. You know, there's not a lot of money in those either anymore. I mean, you hear artists, I got friends that are artists, you know, you make a penny per play on Spotify and you split it with five people plus the record company, that penny.
You know?
It's like, there's not a lot of money out there. And I got to be honest, I'm always one that puts a business hat on. I'm a businessman in my day job every single day. Yep. I understand this is about a niche of a niche of a niche. This isn't like War and Peace. This isn't a Martha Stewart book that's going to Target and Costco and stuff. You know, people are like, is it going to be at Walmart and Target? No, I don't think Walmart and Target are going to have anything to do with the book. We'd love it if they would, but that's not really their speed. So I know it's a niche, and I talked to some publishers out there. I talked to a few people, and for what I was looking to do, I mean, self-publishing is really the way to go. Like a lot of things. I mean, you do it yourself. The DIY method, I guess, is what it is. But with that comes a lot of costs. I mean, Amazon right now, it's like $68 and change for the soft cover book.
Yeah.
Amazon, the printing cost for that book, just to print the book, is $68.52. Amazon is using it as a loss leader currently on their site. So I don't know when it'll go to 99. And, you know, when it goes to $99, you know, people are probably thinking Kyle's going to make $30 a book or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm making $5 per book sold at $100, if that is. And then
to get the hardcover
edition, I mean, Amazon wouldn't even print the hardcover edition. It's too thick. It's too big. It's not even possible to do. Barnes & Noble was up for the task. However, it's $85 just to print this book in hardcover. $85. Oh my God. So then, of course, on top of that, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, I mean, they're both kind of the same thing. They take a percentage of, okay, they get, you know, there's the print cost. Then they take a percentage of the sales for them. Then they charge you to, you know, ship the book, order the book, all the stuff, you know, the publicity of the book on their site, and then you get your royalties at the very end. So there's very peanuts here, and that's why I said from day one, this isn't about the money. It's a labor of love. It's to get this out here for people. And that's what it is. I mean, it's not, I'm not Stephen King. I'm not going to be able to live off this book. It's a labor of love. It's something cool. And it's a legacy type thing. And one thing I've always said, it's really cool that I think when the dust settles, they'll think of Jack's Classic Superstars. You know, if they say name 10 things about it, I might be part of that because I wrote this book. I've done 5 years of videos on these. It's something I'm really passionate about. So I think just being involved with the line and kind of being in the same breath as the line, I mean, that's payment enough for me at the end of the day. It's like, I'm not depending on this to feed my family or anything like
that. Oh yeah. Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah. You definitely, like you said, you brought it up already. You definitely have to have passion for this type of thing. And you obviously you're not, you know, if the profit comes, yes, that's obviously that's a plus to you. But other than that, it's like you said, it's more or less like, you know, having your legacy out there as, you know,
it was really cool. Awesome. Week one. I mean, I did pass, you know, Becky Lynch on the bestsellers. I was bestseller on three different things for four or five days. So Becky Lynch, I passed up, and then there was like a new Lego book, and it was pretty cool because when you think of the price point, I mean, those books are way cheaper than this one. So that was a pretty cool feeling. Just for a little bit, you're a best-selling author, and I knew it would eventually, you know, it's just not going to be sustainable. There's not a machine, a WWE machine pushing behind this or anything.
Yeah. It would help. It would help if there was a machine behind it.
And you know, I'm open to publisher. If there's a publisher out there and they want to publish this and want to work together, I'm always open for a conversation. But the other way I could have done this was I could have went to a publishing company or whatever, a printer basically, turned it in, and then they're going to say, okay, we'll do it for you, but you got to print 200 books and it's going to be, you know, $10,000 or whatever it is. You got to front the money. And then I get those. I have a room in my house full of books. Then I got to invoice them. I got to ship them. I got to mail them. And then if one gets lost, I got to replace it. It's like, as much as I would love to do that, I just don't have the time for that. I just don't, unfortunately.
So. Well, you got to think with a publisher too. What did you think they would kind of? You think they would try to like kind of cut corners with the book as well? Not it wouldn't have his like it wouldn't have its authenticity yeah. if that was the case. I would think if you had turned it over to somebody, they would probably look at it and go, like you said in the beginning, maybe we shouldn't just break it into volumes. We're not going to do a whole book. We'll just do like volume 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll go back.
Yeah, there's
our definitely. Idea of kind of book. Yeah, so like I like the fact that you kind of stuck to your guns in the sense where you want to get the book out on your own terms, and if it does what it does, that's fine. But like I said, yeah. I think it's one of those things as a figure collector. I think it's definitely something that I admire. Seeing you and even speaking to you before and stuff like that. So, but that's definitely a huge accomplishment. Actually, like you said, it's probably a lot more work than you're actually saying now to get this book done. But like just thinking of that and like having that like idea to put it forward is pretty insane. Like, how was your wife involved with this at all? No, was it all you by yourself?
It's so funny. I kind of joke about that a little bit with my wife because she never even saw any of the book until it was officially in my hand. She had no clue. I said I was working on a book. She knew that, but she had no idea what I was doing. So she sees it. It's like, wow, that's more than I thought it was going to be. So I was working pretty much in silence. There was just a few people knowing that I was doing that. But yeah, I was working pretty hard. I always say, if you want to do something bad enough, you'll find the time for it, really. And, I work 50, 60 hours a week, my day job. And then, I film videos all weekend and I edit all the nights and stuff. So I'm a very busy guy and I stayed up really late at nights taking pictures and writing the copy and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was definitely a passion project for sure.
Wow. What about, I remember on the last time you were on the show, you spoke about your father and stuff like that and how involved he was in the collecting and things like that. Was he one of the few ones that knew about the book, or was he in the same light as your wife, like he got the final copy of it?
No, yeah, he's a pretty big supporter on that kind of stuff. He knew about that one, and I was showing him, and I was bouncing some ideas off him and things like that along the way. So he was one of the guys in the know for sure from day one.
Nice. Yeah, because I remember you said obviously he was a huge part of collecting, and I figured he has to be a part of the book. I mean,
yeah,
he's a part of that whole story essentially. And I remember the story you told me. We were like, was it at Toys R Us? And you were going to collect, and some bigger dude was there trying to collect too as well. And then your father was kind of like, Hey man, my son's trying to get this. Let me get that. So just thinking about those stories and stuff like that. Like did that come to your mind? Like as you're doing this book, like all these, like did all like the, did you want to like throw a lot more in as far as like your own personal, like, stories, like what was the idea behind the book before this came out? Was it going to be like this from the beginning, just pictures showing the collection and footnotes, or did you have a different idea where it was kind of going to be like a book with like paragraphs and stuff and maybe throw in some pictures? How did that book in the beginning stages look?
It was pretty much how it came out here. That's pretty much my thought process along the way. But I was thinking about putting some anecdotes in there, maybe like almost like a pop-up video or something like that with a little bubble of something, because I was thinking about that, like, because there is some interesting stories and some funny things throughout the line just collecting as collectors come across things and stuff.
Yes.
But then I said, I don't know. The average Joe doesn't know who I am. I mean, my YouTube audience might enjoy little twirps like that and things like that, but I think the average Joe, I wanted to keep it more like a textbook, I guess, more basic, I guess, is how I decided to go.
Yeah. Do you think, are you going to do like any type of like, with the book, are you going to do like a, maybe kind of like revisit, like do like a series, maybe like revisiting some of the like notable maybe figures in the book? Or have you like basically, are you going to like, how are you going to like prolong this book and keep it like, instead of, it's out, that's it, we're all done with it? Or is it going to be something where you're going to like kind of revisit it and bring it back into the forefront somehow into YouTube videos?
A lot of people have said, are you going to do a Kindle edition or a digital edition? I mean, I think I'll probably do that down the road, but I mean, with a book like this, you put that out there, somebody screenshots the whole thing first night, sends it out to everybody, and it's just, out on the web. And I didn't want that. I really wanted people to have the experience of holding it, seeing it. I mean, there's something special about having
physical. No, definitely. Yeah. Like I said, it's,
and
It's amazing.
I will probably eventually. I don't know. I mean, once the book sales slow down, and once again, it's not Stephen King. It's not a million selling book. It's not going to be. But when it slows down a year, 2 years, I'll probably put the digital copy out there eventually. So that'll prolong it. And I went back and forth and had a little bit of internal discussion on this, is I almost thought about putting canceled and prototype figures and stuff in this book. And I said, you know, I thought about doing it, but they were never officially released, so it would kind of go off, but it would be a cool little section. And I thought maybe in a couple of years, maybe I do a, you know, an five-year anniversary edition, and I put that stuff in there possibly. However, the thing I don't like about prototypes and stuff like that is new ones are being found all the time. And the minute a new one is found, this book's totally out of date. So that's one reason I didn't want to put that stuff in. And then you don't really necessarily know if they were officially supposed to be in anything. It's a lot of kind of, I don't know if gossip's the right word, but that's why I left that stuff out. But I thought maybe down in the future, I might put like an abridged edition or a bonus edition or something, or special edition, maybe. Who knows?
That'd be pretty cool, actually, if you do something like that. And with the, you know, maybe like the, when you, if you do like a digital version of the book, maybe like you kind of like said with the pop-ups and things like that, maybe you like, you know, there's not every single figure, a pop-up comes up and you talk about it. Maybe like your favorite figures in the line. You get that like certain section, so like, you know, Kyle's favorite or something like that, and you like, you click on it, and then you kind of like go into your, you know, your story about, you know, the figure and stuff like that. I think that'd be pretty cool, just to have something like that. So, other than that, like, as far as the, you know, the amount of, do you, I think it said this, but do you own every single figure in this book, right? Is that
almost? Is that so there's a few. There's a few that I do not. So there's like the one of 20 Ric Flair, and I think Jeremy has like 9 of those 20 in his collection. I mean, he tells a funny story about that in the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So there's that one. And there's one of the really rare Ultimate Warriors that I still need, the marble one. So I don't have that one yet.
Yeah. That's right.
And then there's one of 3 Ultimate Warrior, which one of them, I guess, was destroyed in a hurricane. And then I think Jeremy has the other two. So so there's some really rare ones that I don't think is really possible. But as far as all the modern releases, all the Tag Team Street Packs, all the Ringside exclusives, store exclusives, I mean, all the accessible ones I have in my collection, and then the 1-of-100s and things like that as well.
I think everyone needs to just hit up Jeremy. Everyone just needs to send him a DM and say, hey, let's work out a deal. Let's get Kyle. He put all the work into this book. let him get a Ric Flair. Let him get at least a Warrior. One or the other. We'll see what happens. But that'd be nice.
I told Jeremy, I said, Jeremy, just leave him to me in your will. That's the least you could do. And he laughed. He laughed. So I'm going to take that as a yes. He laughed. I think he thought it was funny. I'm just going to pretend he's leaving them to me.
That's perfect. And he did. So here's something interesting he did say. I don't want to start any rumors or anything like that, but, you know, you read his forward and everything like that. You know, he was thanking everybody, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, last line, he says, never say never. What does that mean? I don't want to allude to anything. But what is it? Do you have an idea of what he means by that? Or is it just something, you know, a tagline of his that just says, hey, never say never?
Well, he also put that in the interview, too, in one of the questions I had in there where he answers it. But, yeah, I think you never know. Never say never about the return of classic superstars.
Huh.
Because it's not technically, you know, WWE, AEW, you know, owned. Anybody can do it. So I don't know. Yeah, I pushed him pretty hard about that, and you never know. We might see the return here. You might see the return.
Okay, we did talk. I think we did talk about that. You know, the last show, you know, we talked about, you know, the return. You know, major bendies and, you know, big rubber guys and pretty much all the different lines of, you know, retro style figures that are out there and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, classic superstars may have to make a resurgence after. I mean, this book might be the reason why it comes back. That's the other thing. And if it does, I'm giving it credit because that's, you know, this is kind of, like I said, this is kind of the resurgence of everything. Like, I don't have like a lot of Jack's classic superstars. I have a few. I have only really collected the Warriors, and because I'm a huge Ultimate Warrior fan.
Yep.
And the Junkyard Dogs that they had, the, you know, red tights as well as the, you know, the white with the blue and red stars and stuff like that. Cause my father was a huge Junkyard Dog fan. So I have like a mini Junkyard Dog collection, you know, Elite Junkyard Dog, Retro Junkyard Dog, LJN as well. So, Yeah, like I said, this book is kind of getting me, like, wanting me to get back into collecting them. But like you said at the beginning, it's very expensive. It's time consuming. And, you know, like I said, I'm thanking you for, you know, putting this book out, because now I don't have to do it. I could just, like, when I get that urge, I could just skim through and go, oh, okay, all right, this is this is nice. I can just look at the figures, and, you know, that's what it really is, just looking at the figures. Obviously, I'm not able to, you know, touch them and pose them and all that stuff, but looking is fine. You know, look but don't touch. That's my motto for that anyway. So after this, so I know you don't, I'm not sure if you can give any other secrets, but, like, is there, you know, would you do, like, a follow-up book or another book, maybe not with, not Jack's Classic, but, like, maybe something else? Have you caught, like, the, you know, the writer's bug or the author's bug while doing this book?
Yeah, like I said, I'm always working way ahead. So, I mean, who knows? I could have another book already done. You never know.
All right. There you go.
I'm like Jeremy. Never say never. Never say never.
God, that's, and it's, I also do admire, like, and I love hearing, like, your work ethic when it comes to, you know, this type of stuff, not just collecting, just, you know, in general, just, you know, the videos that you do, like the book and everything like that. I think, it, you know, as a content creator, I'm not much of it, but I, you know, I dabble in it. I like to say I'm not a professional at it, but, like, just, like, you know, seeing what you're doing and, you know, see what others are doing, it kind of gives you that motivation to, like, you know, there are going to be late nights, that happens, you know, there are going to be, you know, late nights and early mornings, especially if you do have a job and you have a family. And that can make it a little bit, you know, rough. But if you do have a passion for it and you love doing it, and you're not really looking for anything in return by it, just by, you know, you just really just want to get your stuff out there and, you know, kind of see what happens. I think you're kind of like a person to look to as far as that motivation goes personally. That's for me anyway, not just because you're on the show and not because I follow you and I've spoken to you before. Yeah. I say that as, like, you know, coming from the heart, essentially, like, you're kind of like that, like, you know, I see him and I go, man, I gotta get it moving. I gotta keep on doing what I'm doing, and, you know,
keep grinding,
not look back.
Grinding.
Yeah,
definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, you know, obviously there's other, you know, the major bros are out there. They're far ahead of beyond when it comes to that stuff. But, like, as far as, like, you know, I look at them as, like, the business side of things, you know, and they do a magnificent job at that. Like, where do you get your inspiration from as far as, like, your work ethic and your, as when it comes to this, not like your shoot job or anything, but when it comes to the, you know, the collecting, the, you know, the videos, the content creation, where do you draw all that inspiration from?
It's internal. It's all internal. I've always had that internal drive just to do it and to get to the next goal and check it off. And just like the book, it's like a process. You just got to see it through. And that's kind of me every day. It's just, I've always had that. I've always been very driven and trying to get what I want. A lot of that action figures as a little kid. I mean, I would do anything. I remember as a kid, I would ride my bike to, like, car washes and the old paper machines and pop machines. And I would go and hit the coin returns on them all the time, every single day, trying to get quarters to buy baseball cards or action figures as a kid. I was always hustling. I was always doing odd jobs, things like that. And I've always been that way. And kind of now it's a big stress relief too, is this, all this stuff is just, it's stress release from your day job that really grinds you. And it's just a passion. It's something I just keep on myself. And, you know, I try not to look for influences elsewhere. I don't really, I'm just, it's very internally driven. And I guess you're just kind of that way. Anybody could be that way. You might have to practice that in a little while and do stuff, but I've always kind of been that way. My dad was a lot like that. My grandma and grandpa were very much like that. And I must be kind of a family inherited type thing, I guess.
Yeah. Like you said, I try not to, I'm kind of like you in the sense where, you know, hopefully no one, like, kills me for this, but I try not to listen to a lot of, like, different podcasts and things like that, or people that I know, essentially, because I don't want to draw from them or take from them. Obviously, I work with a lot of different people when it comes to, like collaborations and stuff like that, but I don't want to, like, feel like I'm, you know, their ways are seeping into my ways, essentially.
It's a funny thing is I heard this from about 10 years ago. There's a guitarist. He's really famous. His name is Michael Schenker. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but the Scorpions.
Yes, I actually have.
Yep. I mean, he's a, you know, for guitarists, like guitarists that are in the industry, he's like a god to them. I mean, he's not as well known as Eddie Van Halen, but he is truly a guitar god.
Yeah.
And he said he has never listened to music since 1979. He stopped listening to all music and just does his own thing. And I'm like, that's kind of like how I do things. I don't want to hear or see anything. I'll check it out after I do my stuff. And then, you know, like a figure of you, I'm not going to look at somebody's before mine, but it's just a weird thing. And I was like, other people do that as well. So we're not alone in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't want to read, like I try not to read stuff. Cause obviously, you know, I do a show where we're talking about, you know, WWE stuff. So like, I don't want to read like dirt sheets. I don't want to read like, you know, people's comments on things. Cause I don't want to like to subconsciously, you know, go into my mind. I want to have like a objective view of things when I speak of things, especially something like this. Only time I'll really do like, you know, research on stuff is obviously when I do this show. I'll like, you know, the person that I'm interviewing, obviously I have to do some research on them and stuff like that. Not watch any other interviews that they're on. That's why I said, that's why I asked you. I was like, the only interview I knew of was the Nick Storm interview. Cause we're friends with Nick Storm. I love that. I love that guy. He's great. And, like I said, I didn't watch it. I mean, I'd seen it. I was like, I don't want to watch it. Cause I don't want to take anything away from it. Not that I don't love Nick Storm or you. I was just like, I don't want it to be the same. I kind of want it to be different. Obviously, you know, Nick Storm is a different type of, different type of individual. So there's no one can copy that guy at all. Even if I try,
Australian. He's Australian. There you go.
That is true. Yes. He's very Australian, that guy. But, other than that, not sure how much you can give away as far as like your future plans, for things, but what, is there anything else coming down the pipeline? Is, you know, like I said, nothing, it doesn't, if it's super secret, obviously you don't say, but like, you know,
yeah,
little anything.
There's always a couple of projects in the works, that's for sure. I obviously keep grinding. I keep doing my YouTube videos. Got two channels going on every single day. Got 4 videos a day as of right now. It's been that way for about the last year. Coming up close on the 4-year anniversary of the channel at the end of March, so that's pretty cool milestone. Not quite 5 years, but 4 years is pretty cool. And I'm working on a massive project. Probably the biggest project of my life. We'll see how it goes. Have had some meetings out in California and places like that. Nice. And we'll see how it goes. More to come in the future. Maybe, who knows? You might see my face a little bit more often. We'll see. You just never know how these things will go. So I've been working on that for a while. Hopefully maybe by San Diego Comic-Con, maybe I can announce some things. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening, but awesome. Don't want to give too much away, but it's a big thing in the future and a few other little things along the way as well. So you never know. You never know.
That is true. That is true. There's a lot of, obviously, you know, like you said, there's a lot of Comic-Cons coming up. There's a lot of conventions coming up there too as well. So yeah, this is, I mean, like I said, definitely looking forward to seeing you more. And, I do want to ask you one question about the book. So what's your favorite series in the Jack's Classic line? Obviously there's a bunch of series, but what is your favorite series? The figures that are within that series? I'm curious to know.
That's a tough one. It's hard, I mean, there's some good ones. You know, that first tag team set, I mean, that's the one that's, I mean, it probably changes, but that's what just popped in my head when you said that. That first tag team set with the LOD in there for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And then the Rockers in there as well. Mm. I mean, that LOD was a big, big deal. Just like when I was a kid getting the Hasbros, the LOD was a big, big deal. But, you know, the figures don't hold up as much as some of the other ones, but it would be series one. I mean, that change the game. I mean, seeing, and you're an Ultimate Warrior guy just like me, seeing a modern Ultimate Warrior figure where we never really got legend figures in the past. That was the first time ever. And, you know, I paid attention to the internet at the time when the line came out, but I wasn't in the weeds like I am now. And just seeing that on the store shelves, I about dropped to my knee. I talk about it in the book a little bit. I about dropped to my knees and just could not believe what I was seeing here. Oh my gosh, it's the Ultimate Warrior. So I guess just because of the specialness of that, that's probably going to be the answer, the first series there.
I am hoping, because we didn't get this gentleman in the Jax line that I know of, Macho Man.
Didn't happen. I asked Jeremy a couple of questions there on a few performers, and you know, he didn't want to give away too much of the business part of all that, but I knew I needed to ask the question, and it just stars did not align apparently. So it wasn't his doing. He wanted to be in there, trust me. So
man, space wasn't the place, I guess, for the Macho Man. But man, can you imagine like a Macho Man figure with, like, obviously, you know, with the Ultimate Warrior figures, they had the actual, you know, like cloth tassels and everything like that. Imagine a, like, I don't even know, like if they did like a WrestleMania
one thing that's crazy match.
be so good.
If they would have got Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man, those are pretty much the two at the top of people. And in the Von Erichs, a lot of people mentioned them. If they would have got them, I wonder who would have got bumped out. What would we not have got? Because they would have been bumped for other people. So that's one of those interesting things, too, is there could have been some amazing figures we would have never got. Maybe like the Andy Kaufman or, you know, or Johnny Rods. Who knows? But it's always weird to kind of think about a little bit.
That's true. I didn't think of that. Do you think we'll see a Andy Kaufman figure from Mattel?
I don't know. I really hope so, because I'm a huge Andy Kaufman fan. I loved Andy Kaufman's comedy as a little kid, and then I loved him before I knew he was even involved in wrestling. And then I found out that it made him even cooler in my book. So I love Andy Kaufman, and I thought for sure when they made that Johnny Knoxville Elite, I said, "Oh, they're setting it up. They're setting up. They're going to use that body, repaint it." But nothing. So I'm hoping maybe Mania will get some kind of an announcement. I mean, he would be an awesome one.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, obviously it seems like, you know, is it pretty much every WrestleMania where they announce it? Like something on Mattel Creations. We got obviously Muhammad Ali. But do you go back to back years with celebrity guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that would work. I mean, I could see him just being stuck in the Legends line. I could see that probably happening. The interesting thing is he went into the Hall of Fame last year, I believe. So it usually takes about a year to get a figure made. So we're about at the year thing. I wouldn't be shocked if they are making him. We could see it at the WrestleMania reveal of the figures there. I mean, that would make sense. Hey, they signed him right after that. And you're about a year later. Could happen. I'd be here for it. And they've made other celebrities. We've seen Logan Paul. We've seen Gronkowski. Yep. I mean, we've seen a few. So I could see it. I'm fingers crossed for me, at least.
Supposedly Bad Bunny was supposed to be in one of the lines, but then what happened with that? I don't even know. It's like they kind of fell on the wayside. But one more question before you go. Do we see Macho Man back in the Mattel line?
Yeah, I don't know when. I have heard that agency that he's with, I think the LOD and Andre are with it, they're a little hard to work with, I have heard. And there may be, I think the big issue with all that is, I think, you know, COVID hit and collectibles and toys went through the roof and they were making royalty monies like crazy. And then we've seen it all dial back. Everything's dialed back. It's not the height it was, the frenzy it was. And I think that agency still says, well, we were making this much for you before and we need that payment. And Mattel WWE is like, well, it's a different time, trying to come back to reality. But, you know, it's great that we're getting Macho Man from, you know, the Grapplers and Gimmicks. We're getting them from Major Bendy's, things like that. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure Mattel is going to make them a lot more money because they just have access to more doors than anybody else. And I do think, you know, it might take a year, it might take a two, but I think they will get back. I think at the end of the day, follow the money, and that's where the money is, and I think it'll happen. And I bet you that canceled Ultimate Edition from Macho Man, it's probably all sitting in a warehouse, and the minute they get the okay, it'll be out real quick. I have
My only fear is they don't get it back. And, you know, obviously the Coliseum collection, which is probably my favorite line right now from Mattel, that it doesn't, they don't make it. And, you know, Macho Man is in that. He's a part of that old LJN line. So I'm looking to see that. I'm looking to see him, you know, Junkyard Dog, hopefully an Ultimate Edition of Junkyard Dog there. And probably my most wanted one out of that is if they recreate the Ultimate Warrior. Don't change it up. The same exact Ultimate Warrior that you look like as an LJN, but make it an Ultimate Edition for him. That's the only one I'm really like looking forward to. Hopefully,
would put him with? Who would they put him with, though?
So that's the
I think it's got to be Honky Tonk Man. I think that makes the most sense.
You think so? Yeah, makes sense. I like that idea. I don't hate it, but. Yeah, we still have some time. WrestleMania is right around the corner, so they'll probably be announcing some stuff then. And obviously you have SDCC as well coming up too. So, but I'm hoping, like I said, I pray that Ultimate Warrior pops up, because I think I'll probably quit collecting after that, because that's all. What other figure do you need? A fully articulated version of that Ultimate Warrior?
It's dumbed down. It's a dumbed down warrior, but it's a special warrior. It's my favorite figure of all time, so I would love to have a tribute to it.
Oh, I love that. But anyway, we'll end it there. I encourage everyone, definitely pick up the book. If you're watching the video version, I have it up right now. Kyle Peterson, great job on the book. Like I said, I've been thumbing through it since I got it. I think I bought it on the day it was released. And I think I messaged you that day and I was like, hey, I just bought it. I need you back on the show to talk a little bit about it. But man, like I said, it's great work on the book. Hopefully it inspires others out there to, you know, if they, you know, they have an idea of, you know, they want to put out a book or something like that, or, you know, or even that collection is something specific, like you said, maybe G.I. Joe, or if it's someone that, you know, has all the He-Mans or whatever, Transformers, make a Transformer book. Let this book be your, you know, your guiding light to, you know, showcasing your collection and putting the love out there. Let's keep it going. I mean, obviously, you know, like we kind of talked about it, collecting as kind of figure collecting has subsided a little bit, but I think, like, you know, things like you're doing, like kind of like pivoting away from that and, you know, creating books, creating education around collecting and these figures, I think that'll definitely, you know, inspire, you know, more to go out and collect, but also inspire those to, like, you know, create more books and get more educated about these collections and these things of the past. So hopefully those are my kind words to you and everybody that are out there.
Very nice. Inspirational yes. Here.
Definitely. But I'm going to let you go, and thank you for coming on. Hope to have you on again soon. Yeah. After the next announcement that you have, I'm pretty sure there's going to be plenty more where that came from. So we'll end it there, and thank you, and tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, well, you can find the book. Like I said, hardcover is the exclusive Barnes & Noble edition. It's the store exclusive is the hardcover. And then Amazon for the soft cover as well. Nice. You can find me on social media, SirPaul64 on the old X out there, the_Kyle_Peterson on Threads and on Instagram. And, of course, Kyle Peterson on YouTube, Kyle Peterson 2.0, my new channel as well. I just recently started. So that's where you can find me.
Nice. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you all soon. Later.